Dear listeners, Sai Ram, we now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first broadcast live on 27th June 2019. This came to you as part of Thursday live programs of Radio Sai and it was hosted by Bishu Prashti.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a lovely bhajan on Lord Krishna. We adore him as Panduranga, as Vithala, as Karunantaranga, and this is a very sweet bhajan from the yesteryears. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga.
This is what we will learn now. Like in every episode of this program, let's get started with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga. We'll spend time understanding the meaning of what each word of this bhajan means. And in the end, you will listen to the mandir version of this bhajan, the complete version as it sounds when sung in the Prashantinilayam Mandir. So let's get started with the lyrics.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga, Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga, Shri Ranga Ranga, Jaya Ranga Ranga, Ananda Ranga, Sadananda Ranga, Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga.
Now that you are familiar with the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. As you listen to the tune, please do follow and sing along so that you get a drift of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the Shruti F Pancham.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga.
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 Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga.
Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga.
Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga.
Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga.
Shri Ranga Ranga, Jaya Ranga Ranga.
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 Ananda Ranga, Sadananda Ranga.
Ananda Ranga, Sadananda Ranga.
Ananda Ranga, Sadananda Ranga.
Ananda Ranga, Sadananda Ranga.
Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga.
karunantaranga hridayantaranga
karunantaranga hridayantaranga
karunantaranga hridayantaranga
he sairanga he panduranga
So that is the silken melody of this lovely bhajan. Perhaps one of those bhajans where you are so taken in with the melody that you just only want to sing, you don't want to talk. Sometimes it almost feels like a burden to do a raga session for a bhajan like this. A bhajan which is so powerful in its melody and so profound in the lyrics that you only want to sing, you don't want to speak. But since as part of our duty we have to do this session on raga, we will have this session. How was that experience for you, Brother Anirudh?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
As you rightly put it, this bhajan makes anyone speechless. And that's the power of this bhajan. As soon as I heard the bhajan, you just completely get lost in the bhajan. There are very few such bhajans, I can say, that at the very first moment you hear, it just pulls you. Very powerful. Some, of course, this is a personal experience to everybody. I cannot generalize that there are some bhajans which has such power and there are some which are not. It is, of course, how Swami connects through bhajans for every one of us. It's totally a personal experience. But there are, if you analyze musically, there are some bhajans which the tune is set in such a way that it just pulls your heart to it. And many of them are the old bhajans like
He Ram Bhagavan He Karuna Sindhuram He Deena Bandhu Sai Ram Har Har Gange Har Har Gange He Sai Ranga He Panduranga Karunantaranga Hridayantaranga.
Especially when you hear this in the voice of Mrs. Joshna Reddy.
Yes.
Those are truly the vintage flavor of bhajans, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's an unforgettable experience listening to such beautiful melody as vintage bhajans in Joshna Reddy's voice. Especially I remember the alap, some of the alap which she gives before the bhajan start. I mean, it's so divinely soaked in that you just close your eyes and get connected to Swami. That's the power of such bhajans, and I can imagine, fortunate that we are at least now in the bhajan group, though Swami is making us connect. Imagine if we were there in those at that time, how with very few little crowd here and there, Swami is spending most of the time in darshans and then such powerful bhajans going on in the air. It's just...
And bhajans going on for 2 hours. I think they would have definitely lost track of time with these kind of bhajans. And Swami would want second speed, fourth speed, fifth speed. They can just go on singing. And that's how bhajans used to be. For 15 minutes, they say, each bhajan would just go on.
Yes.
Wow.
I think it's a beautiful dream which you want, wish to come true.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So talking about the raga of the bhajan,
which I don't want to. Yes, as you started off with saying that, it's really a burden doing this raga, because it is a burden in the sense each line is so beautifully connected. If you analyze it musically, a person who is very strict in the music approach, he will go mad, that he may not be able to accept that how, you know, these many deviations, these many variations are possible in a But that's how Sai bhajans are. So this is one of the typical example that the feelings from the composer, the feelings totally emanating from within, when it comes out through music, there are no boundaries, no rules. It just flows. I think the whatever music comes from within, which is true divine feelings, really put in such a way that the tune is taken care. It is not that we need to stick on to the boundaries of the bhajan.
Mind does not have to come
exactly
when the heart speaks.
Exactly. That's, you put it in a short sentence.
Mm.
So let's have a small demonstration of line to line.
Okay.
How each line musically goes from, like, from one horizon to totally another boundary, but yet so beautifully connected, and the bhajan is formed.
Doesn't feel like, you know, it's so divergent.
Exactly.
Musically.
So the first line.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga, He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga, Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga, Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga.
So these two lines, maybe you can say, it might belong to closely to the Keeravani raga in the Hindustani classical music. And also there is a Carnatic raga called Sarasangi.
Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa ni da ba ma ga re sa.
This is the Keeravani raga, where you have
Panduranga, Panduranga, Vitha, He Parthi Purisha,
all those similar Keeravani sounding ragas. And coming to the second raga is Sarasangi.
Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga, Sarigama Padhanisa, Sanidabamagarisa.
It is very close to one more raga called Charukeshi, where it is different by just the ni, which is the Shuddhini here.
Sariga.
It goes to a total major feel, where Shuddhga.
Padhani Sanidabamagarisa.
So, in this raga we have bhajans like
Giridhar, Govind Gopal, Ghanashyam Nandalala.
So you can see the combination of the bhajans, Panduranga Panduranga, which is yet another a pining bhajan, and Giridhar Govind Gopal, of course it is, needless to say, it is a very emotional connect bhajan. So, you can imagine the raga itself, the combo of these two taken means how more emotional and rich it would be. And coming to the third line.
Shri Ranga Ranga, Jaya Ranga Ranga.
The transition from the second to third line is so effortless that you won't even imagine when you sit to compose. I'm just trying to put into the shoes of a composer who has a blank paper and just want to compose like this. The way the thoughts have gone, the way the patterns and the way the structure of the composition is, it's so matchless, or I cannot even describe in words that the transition between such lines are so smooth.
Sagapa ma,
the tibrama is coming there.
Ma pa ma pa, sagadha pada, Anandaranga, Sadanandaranga.
There is one more note being added now, which is totally not there in any of the ragas mentioned before, which is
Ma Pa Ni.
It is the Komal Ni. I'm sure the discussion is going more very technical, in the sense, the whole idea is to iterate that, as I said before, you'll go mad analyzing each line, how each line is composed, only keeping bhava in mind. and not with the objective of reaching these notes or including these notes in the bhajan.
Ma pa ni dha pa.
The komal ni is added.
Sadananda ranga.
Then it joins so beautifully back to
Karunantaranga Hridayantaranga Karunantaranga Hridayantaranga.
And comes back to Kira.
He Sai Ranga.
So that is perhaps a very brief, perhaps incomplete overview of the technical structure of the bhajan.
Yes.
But just to help those who want to be clear with the notes so that they can play the right notes when you are playing in the musical instruments.
Yes.
Let us do the swaras line by line.
Yes. But the sole purpose of doing this exercise for this bhajan especially is to make sure that singers who want to sing this bhajan can get the notes right. And instrumentalist who wants to accompany or play the bhajan can get the notes properly and then practice the bhajan. So the first line.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga, Pasari Gadha, Pamari Madhapa. Pasari Gadha, Pamari Madhapa. Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga. Padamagarigasa, Nisanida Padanisa. Padamagarigasa, Nisanida Padanisa. He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga. Pasari Gadha, Pamari Madhapa.
We'll go to the next line.
Shri Ranga Ranga, Jaya Ranga Ranga. Saga Pa Ma Pa Ma Pa, Saga Dha Pada Pada. Saga Pa Ma Pa Ma Pa, Saga Dha Pada Pada. Anandaranga, Sadanandaranga. Ma Pa Ni Dha Pa Da Ma Pa Ni Dha Pa. Ma Pa Ni Dha Pa Da Ma Pa Ni Dha Pa. Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga. Padamagarigasa, Nisanida Padanisa. Padamagarigasa, Nisanida Padanisa.
And about the beat of the bhajan?
The beat of this bhajan is also different, which is 6 beat, Rupakatalam or Dadra in the classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga.
He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga.
Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga. Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga.
I'm sure anybody who is a keen student of music and loves bhajans would love discovering how bhava supersedes the raga in this bhajan. Thank you so much, Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So it's time now to understand what each word of this bhajan conveys. only when we understand the significance of the beautiful words can we put our feelings into those words as we offer this bhajan to the Lord. The first line, He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga. Panduranga can be split into Pandu and Ranga. Pandu means white. Ranga means color. Panduranga literally means the Lord who is of white complexion. Interestingly, Panduranga is another name for Lord Vithala. The shrine of Lord Vithala is in Pandharpur, Maharashtra. Even though literally the Lord is called here the God who is of white complexion, the statue of Lord Vithala, Lord Panduranga, is always dark in color. And this is so significant. Here Bhagwan is telling how the Lord is neither white nor black, how the Lord is beyond all colors. The Lord covers the entire spectrum from white to black. So even though we hail Him as the most white complexion Lord, the statue of the Lord is one who is most beautiful with His dark complexion. Of course, there are many other ways of understanding this. There are people who say that Panduranga is another name of Lord Shiva, and Vithala also is Lord Shiva. That is the reason why He is called Panduranga. Pandharpur is considered to be the spiritual capital of Maharashtra because of the atmosphere of reverence created by the presence of this Vithoba temple in the district of Solapur in Maharashtra. It is in fact the main center of worship for Lord Vithala. You have statues of Vithala, Vishnu or Krishna, who is also known as Vithoba, and his consort Rakumai, who is also known as Rukmini. So it is Vishnu and Lakshmi which over time have become Vithoba and Rakumai. It is the most visited temple in the west of India. In 2014, the temple became the first in India to invite women and the people from backward classes as priests. So it is one of those temples which has always been at the forefront of social revolution, as well as being a meeting point where people of all communities, of all colors, all classes and all castes converge in their unity of devotion to divinity. While this is the shrine of Lord Vithala in the west of India, there's another temple dedicated to same Lord Panduranga in the south of India, in the state of Andhra Pradesh. And this is the Chikkalapudi Panduranga Swami Temple, which was built by an ardent devotee, Sri Teki Narasimhan, in September 1929. The legend goes about how Lord Vishnu self-manifested here as a result of the sincere yearning, purity and nobility of this devotee, Bhakta Narasimhan. In fact, this temple in Andhra Pradesh stands second in the row of Panduranga temples. The reason for mentioning this shrine is a lovely story concerning Srimati Kantamma, an extremely dedicated servitor of Bhagwan Baba, who has worked in the South Indian canteen of Prashant Nilayam right from the 60s. For over 50 years, she has been serving the devotees of Bhagwan who come to this canteen for their meals. And even now in 2019, she does her bit as much as her health permits, even at this advanced age. Her father was a freedom fighter who died in the prison sometime during 1945-46, that is before India's independence. Kantamma then was a 9-year-old girl, and her maternal uncle took her and her mother to their house after the demise of her father. And at this uncle's house, Kantamma as a little girl would watch her aunt perform daily puja to Lord Panduranga. So her aunt would always have Kantamma by her side when she did her puja, and she would tell her the stories of Meera and Sakubai and how they used to be lost in their prayer, in their meditation of the Lord, and how they became such great devotees because of their earnest pining to be the Lord's devotees. And when she heard all these stories from her aunt, Kantamma always had this question to ourselves: why can't I also follow the path of Meera and Sakubai and realize the Lord? Why can't I also be such exalted devotees of the Lord. So it was when she was 13 or 14 years old that because of the circumstances in her family and the partitioning of property among her uncle and his brothers, that she had to be married. So by the time she was 17, she already had a baby boy. Unfortunately, it was 6 months after this, in a tragic incident, her husband too passed away. So she was now very young, not even 18 years old, and had a baby boy who was 6 months. And her mother was deeply worried about the future of Kantamma. And it was during this time that her maternal uncle and aunt introduced her to Lord Panduranga of Chikkalapudi. This shrine is near Machilipatnam in Andhra Pradesh. They told her how Lord Panduranga manifested here on his own and how he had given directions to this devotee Bhakta Narasimhan to construct this temple. In fact, her maternal uncle and aunt had stayed with Narasimhan. So they had seen the devotion of this great soul who was blessed and instructed by the divine to build the temple. And her uncle and aunt gave her a book called Bhakta Vijayam, which had the stories of the great saints of India. And along with this Bhakta Vijayam, they also gave her an idol of Panduranga and Rakumai. All this happened just 15-16 days after her husband's demise. So with a lot of devotion, Kantamma gave her heart totally to the Lord. She would read and recite Bhakta Vijayam, and she would be thrilled reading the lives of the stories of these saints. And she would visit this Panduranga shrine at Chikkalapudi as often as it was possible. And it was during one of these visits that the people there said they have divine approval for initiating her into the Panduranga tradition. And they gave her the chance to touch the feet of Lord Panduranga and formally initiated her into the tradition of serving this deity. And that moment of touching the feet of Lord Panduranga, the Lord whom she had read about, she had worshipped and yearned for, filled her with bliss when she touched his feet. And from then on, she would go and serve the shrine, serve this Lord to her heart's content. And every time she did that, she would be in ecstasy. She would always feel spiritually elevated whenever she was with her Panduranga in this temple. In fact, Lord Panduranga became so close to her that the Lord would come in her dreams and the Lord would tell her, I am going to come to your home. Whenever she needed the grace of Panduranga, Panduranga would manifest. So she had developed this one-to-one connect with Lord Panduranga, and she would always now pray, Oh Lord Panduranga, you came all the way from Pandharpur and manifested in Chikkalapudi on the prayer and the devotion of Bhakta Narasimhan. Please come and give me your darshan. I too want to be always in bliss, looking at you, looking at your blissful face. So this is how she continued to pray to Lord Panduranga. And the elders of the village thought that this mother with a child needs to be given some work, otherwise she will definitely find it difficult to make her ends meet. And given that she was a very intelligent young woman, they nominated her to be the head of the village. It was the time when the government introduced panchayat system in India, and she was made the sarpanch of the village, and she was elected unanimously. She was in fact reluctant. She said, I am very happy serving the Lord and I want to just spend my time in devotion. But the people said, no, you have to do this work. And she thought that in the Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that serving man is serving God. So she accepted that role and she said, okay, I will serve people through this opportunity. So after she was elected, she went back to Chikkalapudi to again have the darshan of Lord Panduranga. And on that visit, she met a person by name Krishna Rao, who suggested her that she should have the darshan of Sri Satya Sai Baba in Puttaparthi. And Krishna Rao told him that he is a divine incarnation. But Kantamma at that point in time was so much in love with Lord Panduranga that she was not interested in any other form of divinity. There was another friend, Rama Devi, who also told her experiences of being with Bhagwan in Puttaparthi. Finally, in 1959, when she visited Chikkalapudi, Krishna Rao again suggested her that she should see Swami in Puttaparthi. And when Krishna Rao was convincing her to do this, someone called out for Krishna Rao, and once he went outside, he came back to her with a book, and this was the volume Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And Krishna Rao said, "See, I didn't plan this. As we were talking about Swami, someone called for me and gave this book. I think this book is meant for you. You have to accept this and read this book." So he gave him not only this book, but also a photograph of Bhagwan. And Krishna Rao went further and paid for the subscription of Sanatana Sarathi for Kantamma and told her that she should read the life of Bhagwan to Sathya Sai Baba. So once Kantamma went back to her village, she read the entire book, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and after going through all the instances and the life of Bhagwan, she felt that, oh my God, Sai Baba is an avatar. She took the photograph of Baba that she had received and put it in her altar, but it was in one corner of the altar because in the middle was her beloved Lord Panduranga. One day, after doing her puja, when she was doing meditation, suddenly in her meditation she saw the figure of Bhagwan. She saw the beautiful form of Swami in orange robe smiling. And she was very happy and she said, "I didn't even ask for him, but the Lord is giving me such a beautiful darshan." Until then she had only seen in photo, but this was a very, very vivid vision. And next week in Sanatana Sarathi, she read that Bhagwan was coming to Eluru to inaugurate a Gita Bhavan which was constructed by Polishetty Govinda Rao. And by this time, Kantamma was inducted as a member of the Jilla Parishad. And there were some meetings that were arranged in Eluru. And the son-in-law of Polishetty Govinda Rao suggested to her that Swami would be coming to their house. And he told her that Kantamma too was welcome to her house when Bhagwan visits. So Kantamma at that point in time, along with members and chairman of Jilla Parishad, went to Polishetty Govinda Rao's house to have Bhagwan's darshan. This is the first time she would be seeing Bhagwan in flesh and blood. Swami completed the inauguration of the Gita Bhavan and was giving darshan from atop the building. There were huge crowds in all directions, and so it is very difficult to actually get a close spot to have his darshan. But even though she saw Bhagwan from 100 meters away, the moment she saw Swami, she felt that Swami was looking directly at her. She felt that Swami is so close to her. She felt that there is something that transpired between her and Bhagwan, as if a divine message, a divine instruction, divine force hit her. And she was completely taken in. She was smitten by the beauty and the divinity that was Bhagwan. And from then on, she just had this intense desire that she should see Bhagwan once again. This happened in 1959 and she was longing to have more darshans of Bhagwan. And she made so many attempts to come to Puttaparthi. It was not easy in those days. Somehow, in March 1961, 2 years after her first darshan, on the occasion of Shivratri, she started off for Puttaparthi. She didn't have anyone to support her. She just got into a train with the help of someone. And once inside the train, she started speaking to the fellow passengers and they revealed that they also were headed to Puttaparthi. And when she told them that she was going to Puttaparthi for the first time and she had no idea of the route and etc., all the fellow passengers in that meter gauge train said they were from Chebrulu and they have been devotees for past 10 years and they said, "Don't worry, we will take care of you. We have a place where you can stay with us in Puttaparthi." So now she was very confident. The other interesting thing that happened in the train is there was another couple, young couple in the train, to whom this Chebrulu devotees were speaking to. And when she asked who the couple were, the devotees told her that the young couple were the son-in-law and daughter of elder brother of Swami, Seshamaraju. So now she was so happy that Swami's own family members are there in the train. She knew that she will reach Puttaparthi safe. They reached Penukonda in the night and there was only one private bus to Puttaparthi in those days and it was already full and about to leave. Even though it had been 11 hours in the train, but there was no connecting bus. They had to stay put and wait for the bus to come back. The bus came back the next day at 6 p.m. and it took another 3.5 hours to reach Puttaparthi. They reached Puttaparthi 9:30 p.m. And once in the ashram, there were absolutely meager facilities. No washrooms. You have to have bath from the well where the water was very little. The water would exhaust in the well and you had to wait for the water to replenish and then again take a bucket of water. So that is how difficult it was to manage to stay in Puttaparthi in those days. And as they entered the ashram, there was no compound wall. There was just a wire fence and a board said Prashanthi Nilayam, and this small metal board was supported by two wooden stacks. So that is how rudimentary ashram was in those days. But Swami gave himself completely to the devotees. After Shivaratri, Swami gave discourses for a week, and Swami would call the elderly for the interviews first, and then Swami would call every devotee who had come for the festival, would speak to them individually and give them prasadam before they returned to their homes. It was during this occasion that Swami called her along with her mother and her little son for interview, and the moment they went inside, Bhagwan looked at Kantamma and said, "You have been trying to come for the last 2 years, but you were not able to come. This was because my will wasn't there. Now, it was my will that you come, and that is the reason you are here for my darshan." No one knew this, that she was trying to come for 2 years. This was the first time she was seeing Swami. And Bhagwan started revealing things about her which left her stunned. Bhagwan then continued to amaze her and said, "I will take care of your little son. You walk on the path of spirituality." And then Swami caught hold of her hand and 2 to 3 times emphatically Swami said, "I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I will not leave you." Blessed her profusely. She came out of the interview room as if she was returning from heaven. It was such a blissful experience that she just wanted to go back and be with Swami once again. To her, it was like being with her Panduranga. That sense of oneness, that sense of ecstasy, that sense of closeness that she felt being with Bhagwan. And now her heart longed to go back to Swami once again. Her mother wanted to go to Tirupati. So during this journey, they went to Kadiri and they took a train to Tirupati to have darshan. And when they were having the darshan of Lord Venkateshwara in Tirupati, Kantamma says she could not see Lord Balaji, she could not see Venkateshwara. Once she stood in front of the shrine, she was seeing Bhagwan there. She was seeing Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba there. And she thought, maybe it's I'm mistaking. She rubbed her eyes, but she could see only Swami, only her beloved Swami. And then she thought to herself, "Swami, when you are omnipresent, when you are the one who is there in every shrine, why do I have to go to any other place? Why do I have to go to Tirupati? Why do I have to go to any other place of worship?" And she just wanted to come to Puttaparthi many times over. And that is how her life was. She stopped going to Chikkalapudi Panduranga Swami, where she had done seva for years and where she would go very often. But now she just wanted to be with Swami in Puttaparthi. But one day her maternal uncle called her and said that you should visit Chikkalapudi Panduranga. You have been initiated into that tradition. You have to go there. You have to continue to serve there. And now Kantamma started thinking what is the right thing for her to do. She wanted Swami's approval for not going to Chikkalapudi Panduranga Swami. And so she wrote a letter to Swami detailing all the seva that she had done to Lord Panduranga at Chikkalapudi over the years. And she also wrote saying, "Swami, I just now want to be with you. I have seen you and you are my Panduranga. And if you approve me, then I would just want to come and spend time with you. I don't have any other desire now to go to Chikkalapudi Panduranga Swami." She wrote all this and posted the letter to Bhagwan and then came to Puttaparthi in the month of November for Bhagwan's birthday. 4 or 5 days after the birthday celebrations were over, Swami called her for an interview. And as soon as he stepped into the interview room, the first thing Swami asked, did you go to Chikkalapudi? And she said, no, Swami, I have not gone there. And Swami said, why didn't you go? And she said, Swami, I don't have your approval to go to Chikkalapudi. And then Swami said, would I ask you not to go? Do you think I would ask you not to go there? Why didn't you go? And now Kantamma garu did not have any answer. She didn't know what to tell Swami. And Swami repeated this question, why didn't you go? Do you think I would not ask you to go there? Who asked you not to go there? Why didn't you go? And Swami was asking this repeatedly, and now it is becoming in a tone that was stern, and now she didn't know what to answer. She just watched at Swami, absolutely still and dazed and completely bedazzled. She didn't know what to say to Swami, and even as she watched Swami in this transfixed manner, she says, suddenly she did not see Swami, but for a brief 3 seconds, she saw Lord Panduranga with his hands on his hips. As you would find Lord Panduranga, Lord Vitala, arms akimbo, she was seeing Swami even as Bhagavan was asking, why didn't you go? Why didn't you go? Did I ask you not to go? She saw there not Swami, but she saw Panduranga there just for a brief while. And then suddenly again, it was back to Swami, and Swami is asking, why didn't you go? Tell me, why didn't you go? And now she said, Swami, there is no need for me to go. Sai Ranga is here. My Lord is here. And then Swami said, if Sai Ranga is here, then why did you write a letter saying that you need to go to Chikkalapudi to visit Ranga? She had no answer. And then Bhagwan revealed, it is because of the virtue and the merit that you have earned for serving the Lord Panduranga at Chikkalapudi for so long with that devotion and that sincerity, that today you are with me. The fruit of all that penance is the darshan and the sparshan and the sambhashan that you are having with me now in the interview room. It is the fruit of your penance that you have come to me. And from then on, Kantamma garu never went again to any other place of worship, for her Prashanti Nilayam became the most sacred place on earth. And she continued to serve Swami by serving his devotees in the South Indian canteen, which she does even now, 50, 60 years down the line. That is the story of how the same Panduranga is Sai Ranga. So in this bhajan, when we sing, hey Sai Ranga, hey Panduranga, let's fill ourselves with that devotion, with that sense of oneness of divinity. It is the same beautiful Lord of white complexion who is beyond all colors, who is there with us. He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga fills us with this emotion. The next line, Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga. Karuna means compassion. So he is the one full of compassion. Hridayantaranga, the one who is there inside our hearts, the one who understood the penance and the devotion and the intense pining that Kantamma had for the Lord, because he is the one who resides in our hearts. Hridayantaranga, he is there inside our heart. Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga is the second line. We come back again to He Sai Ranga, He Panduranga. The fourth line, Shri Ranga Ranga, Jaya Ranga Ranga. Ranga also means a play. So the Lord is the master orchestrator of the universe. He is the one who has put this universe into play. Shri Ranga Ranga, victory to such a Lord. Jaya Ranga Ranga. Ananda Ranga, Sadananda Ranga is the next line. Ananda Ranga, Ananda means bliss. Sadananda means who is eternally in bliss. The Lord who has set this entire universe into motion is the most blissful one, and He is the one who confers bliss on everyone, and He is the divine master player of the universe. Anandaranga, Sadanandaranga conveys this sentiment. So when we sing this, we should sing it with that feeling of joy, that feeling of happiness and ecstasy, just what Kantamma garu experienced when she was serving Lord Panduranga and when she was finally with her Sai Ranga, with Bhagwan in Prashanti Nilayam. Karunantaranga, Hridayantaranga, this line repeats, and here again we are talking about the compassion of the Lord Karunantaranga, the one who is there in our heart, Hridayantaranga. So this is how this bhajan flows, and each word is so sweetly composed. And as you think about these words, as you sing with feeling, it will definitely take you to a new level of ecstasy. Just think about the way the Lord plays in our lives, the way He directs our lives, and the way He fills our lives with joy, happiness and ecstasy. That is what this bhajan is all about. Let's sing this bhajan once again now in the last lap of this program, the way it is sung in the Prashant Nilay Mandir. We come to the end of the current episode of Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We look forward to your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. With gratitude, humility and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.
Sai Ram, you are listening to an episode of our radio program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first broadcast live on 27th June 2019. This came to you as part of Thursday live programs of Radio Sai Global Harmony, and it was hosted by Bishop Prashti. Dear listeners, we hope you like this program. please send us your feedback by either email or WhatsApp. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org and our WhatsApp number is 9393-258-258. Thank you and loving Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam.